The presses still roll, but in newspapers in towns and cities across the land, they don't seem to thunder anymore. There are fewer journalists, fewer titles, thinner papers. For decades now, they've been shrinking along with their advertising revenue, and wherever newspaper folk gather, they can indulge their instinct for nostalgia and gloom. The last few weeks have brought more bad news.
Newspapers have been printed in Leeds for more than 250 years. There are two enormous presses in our press hall. A few weeks ago, they became silent for the first time, and they are going to remain silent because the company, in its wisdom, has decided to transfer printing of the Yorkshire Post and the Yorkshire Evening Post out of Leeds to two other centres.
Peter Lazenby, veteran of the Yorkshire Evening Post. In Leeds, at the Scotsman in Edinburgh, in daily papers across the East Midlands, turned into weeklies in the blink of an eye, you're hearing the same tale. And it's not just about jobs, it's about journalism, community, maybe even democracy.
For decades and even centuries, our two papers have been integral to the life of Leeds. They've given people a voice that they wouldn't otherwise have had. Whether it's the widow with a leaky roof who's not been able to get it fixed for 6 months, or a massive campaign of national importance, the Yorkshire Post and Evening Post together have given a voice to this region, been a voice for this region.
Johnston Press, owners of the Leeds papers, the Scotsman titles and many more, are taking centre stage at the moment with their restructuring, always a fearful word, but there have been and will be others. Where do you find the optimism? Oddly enough, not far away.
Hello, James. I'm Susan.
Nice to meet you.
I've come now to a lovely leafy campus at Leeds Trinity University College, just outside Leeds, to meet some students who are determined that journalism, for them, does have a healthy future. They're on the postgraduate training course here, and they want to work for newspapers, magazines, or anyone who'll have
them. These are the print and magazine trainees.
Susan Pape is the course instructor.
I must say, looking back over the last couple of years, I've been quite dismayed about the way that local and regional newspapers are going, because that's where I cut my teeth, and I just think that's where the heart of journalism is. But certainly we've been looking at the future. I mean, with our newspaper that we produce here, we've got a sister website that goes with it. We engage with everything digital. They love writing, they love finding out about local issues, local events, and they want to write about them. They want to inform the public about things that are going on.
So let's talk to some of the students and see what they expect to get from journalism.
I'm interested in the local aspect, helping, you know, the local communities and being able to write a perspective that, you know, they have.
You want to get onto papers?
I want to be in papers, yeah, maybe online as well, but I mean, the skills we've been taught here should translate into us being able to get a job.
I mean, you get depressed when you hear what's happening to the regional press.
No, I think there's a lot of negativity around it, but I think the nice thing about that is it makes journalists work harder. And I think the people that are actually good at their job will be a lot more obvious now.
The old urge still lures them on, but what awaits them? This is a place that shimmers in my memory, the Big Market in Newcastle, where an age ago I spent months during my journalist training, like so many others. The Chronicle has only one edition these days, and here's the great change. For breaking stories, you go to its website. Darren Thwaites is the editor.
We're still selling lots of newspapers, but we're also developing a rapidly growing online site as well. And we get the readers more involved now, I think, in content than perhaps did in the past, that it's a conversation with the readers, and that they're giving us content and feedback that we can put into the newspapers.
Newcastle is a healthier newspaper centre than some cities, and at the Newspaper Society, which represents the publishers of the regional press, Lynn Anderson insists that the transition can work and will keep newspapers in business.
On the digital side, the revenues are still very, very small, but they are growing, and that's what I think publishers need to do. They need to find new ways to monetize the growing audience that they're seeing. The audiences are there, as well as the 1,100 core newspapers. We've got 1,600 websites in the industry. Web traffic to local newspaper websites is up by over 40% in the last couple of years.
And if you want to hear the ultimate cheerleader, turn to Sir Ray Tindall, who's been in newspapers for 65 years and publishes about 200 weekly titles across the country. He reckons 30 of them are more than 150 years old. Journalism dying? Don't believe it.
Local newspapers are surviving perfectly well.
We've been going a long time and we'll be there.
One story pleases him most.
The story of the Denby Observer. In the 70s, I read in the Daily Telegraph one morning that it had closed.
He bought it, got the presses started, and they brought out the next week's edition at a day's notice. Sir Ray does illustrate the stubborn optimism that persists. In Newcastle, I found another different kind of example. I've come away from the Evening Chronicle now, up to Jesmond Cricket Ground, looking rather fine in the early evening in the north part of the city, and I'm with Ian Wiley, who's running, believe it or not, a boot camp for bloggers. What's it all about?
Well, we're going to try and pass on what little we know about doing journalism in 2012 to local people, because we believe that in 2012 the walls have come down. It's no longer a bunch of skills and techniques that as professional journalists we can keep to ourselves. Everyone's blogging, everyone's Facebooking, everyone's tweeting, so why don't we just help them along the way and show them how to do it in a trustworthy and reliable way?
Well, let's go in and see what's happening.
We're coming into an age now where journalism is all about sharing, and that's definitely what the ethos of Jesmond Local is. You know, it really embodies this community cohesion and takes it back to grassroots journalism level.
I think as well, something like Jesmond Local offers the opportunity to cover things that even the local press wouldn't have been able to cover in the past when they had more resources. So one of the things that we do, for example, is we will live blog local ward committee meetings. And in some cases, we've actually had as many people following them online as there are at the actual meeting.
Jesmond Local is full of life, but it's small. It has to be if it's going to work. Up the road at the Journal and Chronicle, they'll wonder just how the transition to readers on the web is going to work out for them. No one has yet cracked the problem of how to make it pay. And until someone does, the alarms will still sound in newsrooms across the country. Chronicle, please.
Chronicle 45, thanks.
Thank you.